Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Motormouth Radio, the Mother's Day Motormouth Extravaganza, right here on Mother's Day 2005. I'm here with Mikey T and Ray Guarino, and of course, Mike, the miserable, obnoxious, short, bald mechanic, is here for a very special show. Mike from Surf Class. That's right. This is the show. This is the third annual Mother's Day Extravaganza, where we actually play bits throughout the whole entire year of the classics of Motormouth Radio. And I'll tell you the truth, I didn't think this was going to be a good year for bits. I didn't think there was going to be that many funny things, but I'll tell you, we had a lot of them.
Third year?
That's because you didn't hear what we said all year. You were just listening to yourself. Come on.
Third year? That's depressing. I didn't think we'd make it this far. Is this marathon over yet?
Let's go right into the first bit. The first bit actually does feature Ray as one of the three old cranks because we were at the Father's Day show, and this was Steve Bronk. This was Broncatello's first call-in. When he called
this
in,
this is the first remote segment.
It's a live remote,
and this is before we got Ray in to replace him. Sorry, Ray.
That's all right. Yeah, I'm here now. That's all that counts.
So this is Motormouth Radio's first remote correspondent, Bronk, who bungles the first broadcast from Fireman's Field. Let's hear it.
And we have someone on the line. Hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Yes. Hey, welcome, Motormouth. I'm down at the car show on a beautiful Sunday Father's Day.
If you don't have a car question, sir, we don't know who you are unless you have a car question.
Don't know who I am?
And I think you're lying. I think you're sitting in your backyard by the pool drinking a beer making this all up.
Sounds like a good idea. But I got to tell everybody, come on down. We're at Fireman's Field down in Miracle, Long Island. It's a beautiful sunny day out here.
This is the Bronk, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you on the air yet?
No, we're taping this for prosperity.
Look at your watch.
Hey, I'm running to the right now. We got some people here. You want to say hello? Motormouth Radio. We got two gentlemen. What's your name?
Tom.
Hey.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Tom, what do you drive?
Huh?
What do you drive?
Buick LeSabre.
What year?
What year?
89.
89?
Yeah.
Is everything okay with it?
How does it run? Is it run good?
Yeah, it runs pretty good.
All right, good. The guy holding the phone, don't let him touch your car. It won't run good anymore.
All right.
Next caller.
Next victim.
Brock, you still there?
I'm just touching him instead. So I'm looking for the little boys here. You know? So I'm having a good time down here. And I have one and only, Alex in Wonderland.
No way!
Alex over here.
Alex.
Fantastic painter and pinstriper. Say hello, Alex.
Hello, Alex.
Alex, fantastic job on Steve's bike.
Yes.
Right, we can't get him to talk on the phone. He walked away on us right now.
You know, it's that artist thing.
Mention
that artist thing, yeah.
Bronk, mention something political. You'll get him to speak.
No, God, no, please.
Okay. I want you to know that Alex is very political here, and we're not talking about any kind of imports whatsoever.
No.
It's a fully blown American show right here, and the people here are Americans. They speak English.
I tell you, for people that want to see Alex's work, just go down to the show and take a look at Bronk's 99 dresser.
Yeah.
Well, I got two people right here. I'm going to grab them. I'm going to Shanghai them right here.
Uh-oh.
And who do we have, sir?
My name's Mitch.
Okay, Mitch, what do you drive? What would you like to drive?
He's laughing. He's holding his chest. He can't handle it. You all right?
Then he'd be perfect for the show. Have him come down.
Oh, he's got a 2001 Cougar. Finally came to him. He checked his underwear. And there's the label. It's posted up on him right here and now. We'll give you a call back in about 5 minutes, and we'll rope some more people into this.
Thanks so much. That was a wonderful call, Steve.
Okay, we'll be back.
We'll talk to you soon. The Bronk's over at Fireman's Field on Merrick Road.
You know, just when I thought he was bad enough in the studio, as a correspondent, forget it.
That was back in June 20th. The Father's Day car show.
It's coming up again next month.
It is.
Another Father's Day rolls around. We're doing the same show this year, but we won't have Bronk. I'll be the correspondent in the field.
That's right. So now you know how not to do it.
Yes, exactly. You know it's got to be better than that.
Just don't touch the patrons, right?
Okay. This is the Motormouth Mother's Day show.
The Mothball Mouth.
Let's take it back to the Father's Day show. And we got a call, one of our valued regulars, Steve. He commented on Mikey T's style of giving advice. And this was also from the Father's Day show at Fireman's Field, and you're going to hear it right now.
Hey, you guys are, I mean, I get there, and you're like, oh, you finally made it. And then you turn around 5 minutes later, I'm gone. Yeah, I'm a car guy. I'm going to look at the cars. You go schmooze with the people. I'm going to look at the cars.
Yeah, you certainly did.
I did. Oh, there's more 69 Chevelles than you can shake a stick at.
You took off. Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Gentlemen, I'm at the show.
You're at the...
Oh, no.
And it was worth the $2 to come to see you guys.
Is this Steve?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Steve. It was good to meet you, too.
Yeah, it's really a pleasure. It was worth, it's worth coming down to see, just to see you guys. The cars are pretty, but it's nice to see you guys.
Well, thanks.
You know, not that I'm calling you guys pretty.
Oh, come on. The other night I looked good in heels.
Thank God I didn't see it.
It's okay. They got pictures, and I'm sure I'll be bribed with them.
Let me tell you, I saw it, and believe me, I woke up the next night screaming.
Yeah, Chris is in heavy therapy right now. We had Bronx retirement party the other night, and I kind of did a little skit sitting on his knee. But we won't go there.
No! You guys are as nice off the air.
That was my mother that just screamed, by the way.
You guys are as nice off the air as you are in person.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Yeah. It's really a pleasure to listen to the radio show and meet you guys.
Well, thank you. Same here.
Steve.
Yes.
Go screw yourself.
But
hey, Steve, you know, it's funny. I met Steve. I gave him more information on the air than I did in person because we're getting dragged all over the place.
I know.
We started to talk about your bike, and I got pulled away.
And I know.
You were asking me, first of all, he's got a beautiful Road King. It's gold. It's brand new gold color.
Very nice bike.
It's nothing like Brad's bike puts it to shame. That finish on his bike.
Well, that's Alex with the paint job. It's incredible.
That finish is unbelievable.
No, it's really pretty.
His Corvette. I mean, it's worth coming down just to see the vet.
Yeah, that is a pretty car. He definitely has one pretty vet, that's for sure.
Steve brought up a good point, though, with the motorcycle. He bought it at Lighthouse Harley Davidson, and he asked him about the Reinhardt exhaust and everything.
Right.
And then usually what you do is these bikes inherently run rich right out of the factory. So when you let off the throttle, they pop and spit. And what you do is you put on the Reinhardt exhaust, you put on the high-flow air cleaner, which is made by Harley-Davidson, and then you bring it to, like, East Coast Superbikes, you have them put a dyno jet kit on it, which works in conjunction with your computer, and what it does is it dials in your tuning parameters and leans the bike out a little bit so it doesn't pop, spit, runs better, gets better mileage.
Okay.
But Steve brought up a good point to me. He was talking to Clay at Lighthouse Harley-Davidson, and Clay said, well, there's actually a cheaper way to go, and we remapped the computer with a chip. And what I said to Steve was, you know what? You're better off, in some respects, if they want to do it in-house, have them do it in-house.
Right.
Now the bike's covered under warranty and everything.
Very true.
But I will say this, Steve.
Yes.
Check and ask them when you have this performance work done, if you guys do it here at the dealer, is my bike still covered under warranty? Because believe it or not, Harley-Davidson does sell some items that they say voids the warranty.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, the only question I asked you, do you think I should do it or not? And then you went into this whole freaking long story that I don't even know anything about it.
Well, because when I die, I want to make sure there's nothing left I have to say.
Should I do it or not?
Actually, the question was, do you like my bike? And then I had his ear for like an hour.
That was it.
Steve, you know him all too well.
Mike, I came here to see the car show, not listen to you. You know, I talked to Steve for 5 minutes, right? He's got a face full of spit, his ears bleeding, and his shoulder hurts.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
That's how everybody comes away from talking to you.
Everybody says that. They said, man, you don't shut up. And I said, hey, it got me a TV show and a radio show.
That's
so.
For sure. That's for damn sure.
You don't go quietly. Otherwise, this would be mime, and you people would be really bored.
Steve, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
I felt bad what I said to him in the beginning. Now I don't feel so bad.
Payback, boy. It's touche all the way.
But he's right. He's at the show, and he said the same thing at the show. When I told him the advice at the show, he goes, Jesus, Mike, I just asked, should I do it or not?
Yeah, I just wanted a yes or no answer.
Ask Mikey the time. He tells you how to build a watch. This is the Mothermouth Mother's Day show right here. And we're going to, as Ray said, we're going to dedicate this to all of our moms that out there on this Mother's Day, because it's our gift to them, basically. We tried to find all the funny bits of the year, and we're, you know, giving them back to you right now on this Mother's Day 2005.
Boy, some gift, huh? I love my mother, you know. I don't know if I want to...
You're in torture this way. Okay, well, coming up to the next bit, you know, we couldn't have a Mother's Day highlight show without something from the Bob and Ron show. And here we have Mr. Fabulous, Bob Berkowitz, from the Bob and Ron Show. He had an auto trivia question, and let's see who he turns to for the answer.
When you get into that panic mode, yeah, and you start driving a little faster and taking more chances. No, you never do that. No, that's why I call you Parnelli. No, but that's... that's why I call you Mario.
There you go.
I see you take that.
No, Barney Oldfield. Let's really go back.
Barney Oldfield.
Him I've never heard of.
Most people haven't.
No, I haven't. You have to be over about 70, I think, to know Barney Oldfield.
Yeah, I used to drive a car called the, what was it, the Green Submarine or something like that. It was actually a... it was like a car that looked like a tablet, pretty much.
I think it was a while ago.
Oh, yeah, we're talking late 20s, early 30s.
Right, yeah.
So Ron's got a car that's similar.
I wasn't around there at that point. I just hear stories about that.
Yeah, so that was talking about auto racing history. Yes, he was a famous racer in the 20s and 30s.
There you go.
His name was Barney Oldfield.
All right.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing thing.
Yes, but that was it. We just brought the show down a peg.
No problem.
No, this is what I love about the show, because I can throw something out like that, and Chris has 10 times more information than I'll ever have about any, you know.
Well, you know.
This happened. I was talking to Chris a while ago. I saw an oddball Ford upstate. And I'm driving by, and it's for sale, and I'm looking at it, and first off, the thing that was amazing about it is it was a mid-70s Ford that hadn't rusted completely away, because metallurgy in the mid-70s, they were using recycled metal and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to Chris, I'm trying to describe it, he says, Thunderbird. No, it's not a Thunderbird. This and that. We go through, and he finally pulled out of his ear. pulled out. It must have been a Ford Elite, which then that tripped my little spring in the trap in my memory there. And it was like, yes, because I actually vaguely remember from being a kid the Ford Elite. And anytime I get into this little trivia stuff with Chris, I end up getting 10 times more than I ever thought I would or wanted.
And we keep saying the show is a plethora of information.
That's
useless
right.
Information.
Top. Yeah, that's a good one. That's excellent. That's good.
It was Bob Berkowitz, Mr. Fabulous himself, talking auto trivia, and who he asks me, of all people.
Well, there you go.
This is 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, and this is the Motormouth Mother's Day Show 2005. We're going to go right into another caller, one of our regulars here, Steve from Roslyn. Had a question about undercoating his Jeep.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, sure.
You were with us, right,
yeah,
on
yeah.
this one?
Oh, yeah.
We talked about caustic materials and talked about him doing the job himself. Mikey does not. You don't remember this, huh, Mike?
No, it's all blank. once the show's over, it's put
Flush.
Away.
We talked about dangerous, hazardous materials, talked about doing the undercoating job himself, and he still respects our opinion.
Right.
Here, check it out.
And we have a call. Hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, guys. Steve from Roslyn.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
How are you? I haven't called in a while, but I'm still shaking my head in disbelief every week.
They're back on the air again.
No, he's shaking his head like they haven't been kicked off yet.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Once again, great show. I love you guys.
Thank you so much.
I have a couple questions.
Talk to us.
I'll try to make them quick.
Don't worry about it.
What do you guys think about undercoating your car? I have a 99 Jeep Cherokee.
Yeah.
I saw some guy with a 65, I don't remember what it was, it was his mother's, and it was still running fine. He said, but I just wish I had undercoated it earlier.
Okay. When you got the Jeep, has it been undercoated by the dealer?
The dealer? Oh,
no,
gold. They told me it was gold plated.
Right. Well, you know, the good thing is with the newer vehicles, the floorboards are now... I don't know if they're galvanized. They're not the steel they used to be made out of.
Right.
It's a little better material. At least I know on my Chevy. It's still, it was pristine as the day it came out of the showroom.
Really?
But my Fiat is alive today because it was heavily undercoated.
He really knows what they're doing.
Right. Now the dealer, like you said, Steve, the dealer is a joke because a lot of these places, they don't do it themselves. They send it out.
Sure.
And they show you the yellow plugs in the doors and everything.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, see, it's undercoated. Yeah, the guy punched a hole, drilled it, sprayed in there for 2 seconds and put the plug in.
Yeah.
And that didn't do anything.
I wouldn't buy air valve caps from my dealer.
Join the club.
I think Z-Bot used to be pretty good from what I heard. I never used it, but I heard Z-Bot was a very good system.
Steve, here's what I usually do. Every spring and every fall, I get the regular garden hose, and literally I get in there with the garden hose, and I actually turn it, get it in the wheel well and turn and face it towards me.
I do it every time I wash the car.
Every time I wash my,
oh, okay,
my Bronco, yeah, every time. The lip on the rear fender,
right,
is got a, it's, they're starting to rot out. The front fender doesn't have a lip. The rear has a lip where the, right, inner and outer meet, and they crimp them.
Yeah.
Forget it.
You see them all rotted out.
Yeah, I come out of a snowmobile, and I, you clean under there, and then turn the wand towards you and watch, right, all the crap that comes,
it's,
out.
It's amazing. It is totally amazing what does fall out.
And it's always fun when you shoot yourself in the head in the winter,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that. Yeah.
The pain, the sting is only, you know,
it's
cold so long.
The day I would wash it first off with the hose as best as possible, take it for a ride for about 10 miles, dry it off real good,
okay,
then come back, and then any bare marks on the, underneath the bottom of the car, you can use lacquer thinner, or what you can use is, they make this stuff called PJ1 Super Cleaner. A lot of the bike shops carry it. The stuff is, it's like contact cleaner. It dries real fast. You spray it on a rag, you wipe underneath the truck, wherever you're going to undercoat as best you can, and then go ahead and shoot it right away. And this way, once it adheres to it, forget it, it'll stay.
Get a quarter MEK.
God, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, flashback to my Air Force days. The seat rails. We used to have to clean the graphite off the seat rails. You had to wear rubber gloves, a mask.
I used to work in a bath of that stuff.
I mean,
oh,
and your hands would freeze.
Methyl ketone.
Oh, my
nasty
gosh.
Stuff. It's
really?
Banned in 900 countries, I think, in
yeah,
four provinces.
Yeah.
But it works.
Steve, I had 100 years in the Air Force. It never happened, yeah, to me at all.
Steve, well, there you have it.
All right.
Prep, Steve. It's got a lot, yeah, to do with prep. But a lot of the undercoat, and if you get it, get the rubberized stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
The rubberized stuff works the best.
That's true. Out of the can.
Yeah. The other, and no matter how you do it, you're going to make a mess.
Do you think it's worth having somebody do it professionally, or is it something that anybody can do?
Well, it's something you can do, but I'm going to tell you now, it is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you need a lot of patience.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of work and a lot of patience, but... I've had a few guys that have gone to places, had it done, and then when they get home, they touch it up.
Okay.
Because, you know, they're not going to be as neat as you. It's a business.
Right.
They're going to get it in, get it out.
You want to mask off your brakes, not,
yep,
hit your belts.
Yep.
Watch out.
Yep.
You know, if you,
yeah,
have an open bell housing, not to get any clutch,
yep,
wow,
things like,
because
that.
Because this stuff, and when I did my 69 Chevelle years ago, I undercoated everything, the inner door skins, everything.
Right.
And I made the mistake of letting it splatter up on the glass, and it,
oh,
etched the glass.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I could not believe it. It,
wow,
etched the glass.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy
cow. And I'm sitting there scraping going, what the heck is this? What the heck is this? And all of a sudden, I put the window up a little further and was undercoating, and it literally etched the surface of the glass.
When you took the car to drag race, you couldn't understand why it got slower because you added 200 pounds.
Yeah.
But it was nice and
quiet.
Engine,
but it was nice and
quiet.
Yeah, you didn't hear anything.
I have it done professionally. I don't want to hurt my car. I'm looking to help it.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got 65,000 miles on it, so you think that's a good point to do it, or wait a little longer to 100, or
any point. I
no,
mean, yeah.
And any
point,
as
better,
soon as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
As soon as possible. But I would do that. I would check around in a few places. And what was the other one they used to have? Mr. Rusty or something?
Oh,
or
yeah, Mr. Something.
Mr.
Right?
Something.
Really?
No, Mr. Take My Money.
I tell you, if the undercoating now is anything like the bed liner process,
you're
in.
Oh, yeah. That stuff is indestructible.
You see, they drop the brick off. They drop a cinder block,
yep,
off,
yeah,
a four-story building, and it bounces.
Hey, you know, Steve, Ray's got a good point.
Man.
I bet you if you call some of these places that do the bed lining stuff,
yep,
ask them. 90% of them probably do undercoating also.
Well, they did, and now they're doing this.
Guy that does that, I'm thinking of him.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what.
Good point.
Ray's right. I mean, I've seen two of my customers had that stuff done. It's incredible.
Really?
Yeah, the stuff, they guarantee it for like 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping to call you guys in 10 years and tell you that I've got 600,000 on the Jeep. And it's all thanks to you.
If you call me in 10 years and I'm still doing this radio show, you better start praying for me.
All right, guys, thanks.
Thanks so much,
I'll
Steve.
Let me know what I do.
Please do.
Yeah.
Give us a call back. Thank you so much.
If Mikey T is still doing Motormouth Radio in 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the best line in the whole thing.
Line. What?
Your comment to Steve was if...
Step up to the mic, speak clearly.
Speak clearly into the microphone, and do not move your head.
Yes. Yes, I'll call you
back. Internal Revenue Service wants to know... Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, I'll call you back in 10 years. If I'm still doing this in 10 years... I'll be in attend you from the nursing home.
Yes. Know, right? Call me at the nursing home.
Right. And that was one of our regular callers, Steve, and we tried to talk him out of undercoating his Jeep. This is the Motormouth Mother's Day show, Mother's Day 2005.
Motormouth Mother's Day show.
Extravaganza.
You got a new tongue, folks.
That's true. Let me ask you a question. You ever think like, you ever buy something that you thought was a great deal and then you bring it home and you found out it really wasn't a great deal? I guess we've all done something.
Quite a few girls I dated, yes.
Well, yours truly right over there, Mikey T, here's a bit where a deal is certainly not a deal. Mikey T will tell you all about it right now.
I'm going to bring up a good point here, and then we were talking about before we went to break. Yeah. I had a guy that called me up with a motorcycle. He says, do you repair bikes that have been in accidents? And I said, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And I said, did you get hurt? He goes, no, just come over and do the bike. And I said, well, what happened? He says, just come over and see it. Okay, I schedule him. A month later, I get over to his house. I look at the bike. I walk in. It was a 94 Heritage, the cream and green, and every part on this bike was hit with a ball peen hammer. Each tank was hit. The dash was smashed. The fins on both heads, cylinders, the primary.
What did he do to it?
Well, the first thing I said was, divorce? He goes, not mine. And I said, really? He goes, no, a friend of mine. He goes, he met a woman, she had a ton of money, and all she had to do was just make her happy. And instead, she put the one thing she put in his name was the bike. And he cheated, so she went after the bike and hit it. And I said, well, first of all, he goes, but guess what I bought it for? And I said, I have no idea.
Not
he goes,
clue.
No, guess what I bought it for? I said, I have no idea. He goes, $6,000. And I go, really? Yeah, well, she screwed you too. And he looks at me and he goes, what do you mean? He goes, I got it for $6,000. I said, hold on a minute. The bike's got like 5,000 miles on it.
Right.
But she had to have somebody stand there with a parts book and go, hit here, hit here.
Jeez,
because
really?
I told him, the cylinders are gone, the heads are gone, the fins are busted, both tanks are wrecked, the fender's wrecked. She hit every single methodically on the bike.
Wow.
So I said, he's looking at me with his mouth hanging open. I said, for me to do this bike, you got to put about $10,000 in my hands. He goes, what are you talking? I said, I got to take the whole bike and motor and everything apart. Tranny, cover everything.
Wow.
Rebuild it all with new parts. And by the time you're done, you're going to pay what you would have paid for a new bike, but you'd be out riding.
Right.
And you know what he said? Oh, okay, let me think about it. 2 years later, I saw the guy. Comes running over. Hey, Mike. I said, oh, you riding the bike? No, I got a fat boy. What happened? Yeah, it took us 2.5 years and took me about $20,000. So guess what? She got you too.
I figured you were going to tell me he sold it to some other doofus for $7,000.
No, a deal isn't a deal. No, I didn't pay that much for it.
Unless you know what you're getting into.
I only paid $65 for it. Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, seriously, unless you're somebody like me who's going to set it on the side and work on it when you want, but to pay $70 an hour labor to do something like that,
no,
it's not worth it. And that's why when they hear a deal, oh, it's great, and no, wrong.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah, deal is definitely not a deal right there. I can believe it. Whatever whatever happened with that bike, do you know anything about that bike after the two-year span? Or is it still riding? Is it still around, that motorcycle?
No. All he told me was that he finished it with his buddy. Him and his buddy ended up doing the bike, and it took like 2.5-3 years. Got it done. It cost him about $20 and change, so it was more than he would have bought a new one and made payments and been out riding.
Yeah,
and after that, I don't know. I guess he sold it.
Talk about methodical. That's damage beyond belief. Cannot believe it.
Smart. Talk about, you know, perfect placement, though. That was like strategic bombing, what she did. You know? That was smart. She must watch some World War II videos.
This is the Motormouth Mother's Day show, and we're playing all the bits and all the classics. I got Mikey T and Ray Guarino, and, of course, Mike from Surf Glass is here with us, and I want you to comment on the next bit, Mikey. What do you think?
Oh, Lord, it's bad enough I got to put up with them all week, but now I got to hear them on the weekend.
On a Sunday, no less.
Yeah, and on Sunday. This is my beer drinking day. Yeah. Everybody wonders why I drink. You work for Harold.
Well, one of our frequent guests, Harold Michaelman, also the owner of Surf Glass, we call him the voice of reason. And the reason is because he's so serious when he's explaining things. And here is a very unique situation where Harold, the Rock, finally crumbles. Let's check it out.
I'd like to go back to that story of the emergency brake when Mikey was saying about removing that piece of metal to quiet down the brakes.
We should explain to people what that is.
Right. Yes, that's what I
thought. I thought of that earlier when we got so sidetracked.
That piece of metal Mike was explaining is a little piece of metal that is just below the wear of the brake.
Right.
So when the brake is worn down, now that little piece of metal hits the rotor and makes a noise.
It's called a wear indicator, correct?
It's, yeah.
Right. Okay.
It's a squealer. It's called a squealer. It's a rear indicator.
Most people call it an annoying little piece of metal.
Right. And that's what
go down to Arkansas. You know, there's a lot of squealers.
that's the little piece that Mike was talking about.
Your cousin Bob.
he did it. He got Harold. He got Harold to lose it.
I love it. Harold's going in with the straight. He's giving good, accurate information.
And you had to keep zinging him.
I got to get there.
But you got him to lose it. I didn't. He was holding.
He's trying.
The classic was
what you have to do is you have to get in, you have to get out. You know?
I know.
The bottom line is that little piece of bent metal is riveted on there, so when it hits the rotor, it squeals, and you know you have to change your pads.
Right.
That tells you to take it to the gas station, have your brakes done. See, you got to get in and get out before he gets a shot in.
Right.
See, Harold, you can't concentrate too much. You got to bring as he jumps in, you just got to keep getting higher and higher like this. he'll eventually give up, believe me.
No, there was a classic.
No, I doubt that.
There was a classic. Harold was talking about a cooling system. I think we had mentioned something about a stream in the radiator, and you just went off with the stream, and Harold was a rock. The man kept going.
Well,
kept
the best
going.
Up show. We were listening to that, and it's hysterical. You have to hear that one, Harold. It is. You are like, so when you do the antifreeze, and he's over here in the corner heckling the crap out of you, and you never broke a sweat.
Brock is saying,
we stayed steady. We were hysterical.
Brock is like, if you got a stream, take penicillin.
Well, yeah. But Harold never stopped. He just kept totally going.
The rock.
You would have sworn he was in another room and wasn't even there. You know?
Hey, the 67 Renault Caravelle. That's all with the master cylinder.
Yeah, and that's actually coming up.
Okay.
I'm looking. Ray's getting a little ahead here.
I was introing a bit this time.
Before that was Harold Michaelman, the voice of reason, who we finally got to break. Usually he just keeps right on going when he explains things. He gets way too serious.
Way too serious.
And it was Mikey's technique that taught him how to just jump right in, get the information in while the Bronc is around, and jump right out. Here at the Motormouth Mother's Day extravaganza. That's right.
That's my favorite pastime over there.
is to break Harold's chops. to upset the voice of reason. But anyway, let's get to the next bit, which Ray just mentioned. You know, one of our regulars has one of the most unique vehicles. And here's one of our callers, Mark, and the issues he has with I still can't believe he's got this, a 67 Renault Caravelle. Let's check it out.
Hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Who's this?
This is Mark in Levittown again.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
What's going on, babies?
How you doing?
Yeah, same old, same old.
Yeah?
Okay, I got a few questions for you.
Talk to us.
Okay, I have an old, and don't laugh now, the 67 Renault Caravelle.
Ray's in the middle of drinking some water, and he's just like,
wait a minute. Yeah, Billy Joel might be able to help you with that car.
The question I have.
Yeah, I'm sure you have many.
I'm sorry?
I'm sure you have many questions.
Oh, listen. Other than where the hammer should be.
In your right hand.
Always.
You know, you're always on the prowl looking for parts for these things here and there. And, master cylinder and, let's say, a caliber rebuilding kit.
Right.
You know, these things have rubber. If they're new old stock, is this rubber any good anymore?
Probably. It's going to be, you know, 30 years old.
Oh, it's got to be at least 30 years old.
Sure.
Right? So, I mean, it's probably bad.
I've used them.
I wouldn't consider it bad because basically we're talking about, you know, if it was in the brake master cylinder at the time, then you may have an issue. But if
stress
it's still in
test.
If it's still in a box.
Stress test? Stretch test.
Go for it, Mikey. What's that?
And whenever you have a new old part, that's right, elasticity. If you start to pull it and she snaps, it's a good thing you did it in your hand, not in the vehicle. Yeah. It's whenever you get an old part like that, you have to do that. Just take it, and you don't have to yank on it, but just pull on it, make sure it's still elastic. Look at it real good. If you have to, with a magnifying glass, make sure there's no little cracks, because you put it in a vehicle, may work for a week, and then boom. Well, and when it comes to brakes or anything like that, bad news.
Yeah, you always check it and make sure rubber is pretty good. If you, visually, you can see if it's in bad condition or not. It's starting to crack. You get little stress crack lines like you would see on an old tire.
Yep.
Right?
I bought a fuel pump for a Dodge Challenger I had a few years ago. Mm-hmm. New old stock. This thing was on an auto part dust on the shelf. I think it was date coded 73.
Oh,
the car was a 71. I put it in the car. It lasted about 2.5 weeks. But there was no harm, no foul. I wasn't going to get killed.
When it comes to brakes, though, I'm like,
yeah.
And especially on a part that was probably manufactured in the early 70s, wouldn't it have like
that's
that
true.
White...
It's 73, but what's the manufactured date?
You know? Yeah, it could have manufactured 68. Yeah. Even, yeah.
Sure. But couldn't it probably have like that white powder on the part that would preserve the elasticity of the rubber part at all? I mean, I remember pulling boxes out with rubber parts, and they'd have that white powder. It was like talc or something.
That was the stuff you got from Columbia, I think. That was parts, import parts. Yeah, that's...
That white powder wasn't on there for any other... The white... Chris is taking off and sniffing the white powder. The white powder wasn't on there for any other reason that it didn't stick to the package they put it
in.
Yeah,
yeah.
And also, when in manufacturing, when they separate the parts, rubber would stick together.
Right.
Just out of curiosity, what made you buy a 67 Renault? Why? Just what was in your head? I just want to know. What?
Well, to tell you the truth, my pop used to work for Manhattan Imported Cars way, way back when in Queens. And they, their deal was Renault and Peugeot, you know? And I kind of grew up with them. You know, he always had the company cars and stuff.
I'm happy to hear that he has one because, you know what, it preserves that mm-hmm. mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean...
Yeah, but why?
people say it to me with my Fiat. What the hell are you doing? But you know what? Hey, if I didn't, there's one less on the road.
No,
yeah,
that's
but
true.
There's something I noticed also about you.
What's that?
You have a curiosity that does not end. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's... You know, there are a lot of diehard guys that say, I do nothing but Chevys. I do nothing but this.
Right.
Ray's got his hands in bikes, everything.
Yeah,
and he's just... loves knowledge. I mean, you know what? It, like this transmission. Well, I don't know how it works, but I'm going to give it a shot.
I'm going to bring it in here, I think. We'll put it on the bench here.
I'm sure.
I tried that on TV. It doesn't work.
Yeah. I'm sure Mark has you have a curiosity, too, driving the car you're driving. I'm just amazed that you're able to keep this thing running for as long as you have.
Mostly it sits in a garage, you know, but when I take it out, you know, people look at it and says, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
I haven't seen one of those in 30 years.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. What was the dumbest thing anyone has ever said to you about the car itself? Like, hey, is that a Volvo or something like that? Has anyone ever came up to you and said something totally insane?
No, not really. Just you get a lot of looks. It's the weirdest thing. Like girls walking by, they yell, hey, nice car, you know. People at lights, they look at you, they give you a thumbs up. I mean, the car is really not a sports car, you know. It's a sports type car.
Right.
But there's none around.
No. Nope.
That's why I applaud you for keeping it on the road.
Yeah.
We need that. The hobby needs that.
Yeah.
It's true.
They're all about 2x2 now, whatever.
Yeah. Well, what was the other one they had? The Citroen?
The Citroen.
Right.
Oh, my God. What a weird looking vehicle.
Yeah. A lot of them were weird.
That was kind of strange.
Doors?
Yeah.
It's the strangest looking beast. There used to be one running in Hicksville about 10 years ago.
I tell you what, the Peugeot 505, I think that's the model, was a very popular car.
It was a nice car.
And I drove one. I worked on one. I had a brake job, rear brake job, disc brake. No, piece of cake. I couldn't get these things apart. I gave it back. I said, sorry. Look.
404-403-505.
Yeah. Mark, let me tell you, if please call us, let us know how you're doing with this thing. I will get all the import car books I have out. I will put the import car books in the bathroom and take a crash course on import car repair. Especially
that's not the bathroom; it's called the library.
Sorry.
Men call it a library.
Mark, thanks for the call.
Okay,
thanks Mark.
We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, and I still have all of those import car books. I still have them sitting in the bathroom, which you call the library.
I thought you had all my stuff.
The library, and I never want to touch those books again.
That's right. I'm loading you down with all sorts of new stuff in the bathroom, all your new research material.
This is true. What are you saying about you had a five-speed Fiat transmission?
Well, everybody's been talking to me how crazy I am to take apart my five-speed in the Fiat.
You are crazy.
And my good friend Mike from Westbury just gave me, in a spackle bucket the other night when I dropped off his engine to him, a five-speed that he split the cases. He wouldn't go any further. And I know why, because now I'm seeing the inside of this thing. I'm like, wow, good thing I have a good parts diagram.
You're going to still take it apart.
Well, I can screw out that one before I take mine apart now. Yeah. So, sure. I'm ahead of the game.
In a spackle bucket. There's a real professional.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I got some crap in a bucket here for you.
Right. Fiat, fix it again, Tony.
No, I thought it was a futile Italian attempt at technology.
This is the Motormouth Mother's Day extravaganza, and we're talking to Ray and Mike. And Mike, and basically, we're going to go back to the summertime, August 22nd of 2004. And back in the summer, when you joined the fold there,
oh,
Ray.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, joining the Motormouth team, you had some...
It was a trial by fire.
Oh, it certainly was. You were up with... there was some serious criticism.
Yeah, but I hope as I'm listening to this live this week on the radio that I'm sipping a mimosa and getting myself anesthetized so I can get ready for what's about to come through my speaker.
Yeah, but you know, this was a big process as far as inducting Ray. It took all of 30 seconds, me and Chris in the parking lot going, okay, this is the guy.
Well, tell him about the paddle wax. Come on, guys, because I had to go through that. It was like the fraternity days again.
I told you not to mention that. Your wife will get jealous.
But here's a bit we like to call Lauren and Jenny Critique Dad. Check it out.
Wait, another call.
He's calling back in.
He's calling back. Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, this is Lauren and Jenny.
Hey. Hi, Lauren and Jenny.
You know who they are, right?
Yes.
Yeah, my daughters. Hi, kids.
Hi, guys.
I just wanted to call and say that you guys are all doing a great job.
Well, thank you very much, hon.
How's Ray doing?
He's doing great.
He is?
Yeah.
Dad's doing all right, huh?
Yeah.
Think we're going to bring him on again?
Yeah.
He can come on as long as he brings more photo albums.
Make sure he brings pictures of me next time.
Yeah! Good girl.
Well, you weren't born yet at this album that Mike is looking at.
Oh, these are pictures you're not allowed to see.
He'll get them in the next shot.
How many photo albums does Dad have?
He has like a million.
Conservatively speaking.
But that's a big regret. See, that's why I love pictures, because I'm smart enough to take them.
It's true.
Although everyone's burned in my memory, and that's why I need therapy.
You don't lose that, yeah.
So is it cool that Dad's always working in the garage on cars, or, you know, how do you feel about it? What do you think?
Yeah, he's working all the time, except he never got the Fiat done.
Well, it's on the road now.
It's on the way, but there's no convertible top.
No top, right.
It's like ruggedy. It looks like a rat ate it.
Well, yeah, the rat.
Out of the mouths of babes.
Yeah. Hence a rat ride. Well, Lauren is my motorcycle riding partner now. She's become my latest. She was old enough, you know, tall enough to reach the peg. She's been riding with me now for probably 6 years.
Cool.
So I told her first car is going to have two wheels. And she can ride with any boy she wants to ride with in the car, fine, as long as she's driving.
Yeah.
That's the other rule.
Any good riding stories with Dad, Mom?
What?
Any good riding stories with Dad?
Yeah.
Lauren, who did we see on the North Shore last year when we were riding around? Do you remember who? A celebrity we saw?
The Elvis guy?
We saw an Elvis
guy.
Elvis on the North Shore on 25A, yeah.
Is that the guy? He's got like a Harley. It's just all studded out or something.
The guy was walking. He wasn't riding a bike. He was just Elvis. Was what? Dad, there's Elvis. Like, yeah, right. Okay, come on. What was in that chocolate?
Ray's going. I know, honey. Don't wave to him. He's unemployed.
You guys had an Elvis sighting?
Yes, we did.
Son of a gun.
That was cool.
And you don't live in a trailer park or anything?
Well, Lauren's going into school the next day and saying, you know, me and Dad saw Elvis on the bike. Okay, does your dad do drugs?
Lauren, what kind of car do you want to buy when you start driving in a couple of years?
A Porsche.
Oh!
Ouch! You're selling some of your collection.
When did you go to Porsche?
What?
When did you change to Porsche? It used to be something else.
Oh, these kids tonight.
You did tell us what she wanted.
She wanted a Z3.
Z3.
And then she upped it to a Z4.
No more.
Well, she wants me to put an automatic in the Fiat. I said,
That's sacrilege, kiddo. We're going to have to, you know.
I'll find another one
give
with an automatic.
You know, a quick.
Ray's not going to be on Sundays anymore. He's going to have to get a side job to buy the Porsche.
Yeah, right.
We're going to have to give you a crash course on clutchology.
Yeah. We'll teach how to shift.
Yeah, exactly. And that's always cool because, you know, you think about it. A woman who drives at a young age is very cool. A woman who drives a stick at a young age is very cool.
Right.
And then you're going to have to drive because...
And a woman that drives fast with a stick is very intimidating.
Yes.
And then your boyfriends will be able to drive the car.
I like that. That's good.
Well, it goes to prove. Stick cars don't get stolen as much as automatics.
Well, you see these black... marks leaving the scene, and the car's 10 feet down the road.
The herky-jerky motion in the parking lot. Lauren, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye, Dad.
Bye, Jenny.
She's so cute.
That last one is great. Jenny was great. Jenny made that whole phone call.
I tell you, that whole bit was priceless. I remember that. That day was great. That was a great way to start the show, too, with you guys, because... You know, having him on, the kids were a big part of my life, and that really just, It meant a lot. That was great. And I know they're going to enjoy listening to it, too.
In the 20 years from now, also.
Well, yeah, that's the only reason we brought Ray on is because we needed a family guy. You know, Chris and I being single didn't look too good.
Legitimize the
show. We need somebody with some stable life, and we found out he's far from it.
We're going to stick with Ray right here.
And that's before Lauren and I got into the Paige Davis thing.
That's right. Yeah, that's when she was nice to you.
That's when Lauren used to be nice to me.
That was just the beginning of it, yeah. Now we got the other jabone that she's
yes, in. I know.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we're not going to mention that name.
No, definitely not. Well, we're going to stick with Ray here. Being a part of the radio advice program, you know, it allows others to look at us as, you know, as authority figures.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And those are just the people at Willowbrook.
Well, Ray likes to test that credibility, and let's hear how he does it right now.
So I'm swapping ceiling fans in the house the other day because my wife wants this one here, that one there, the other one over here. Right, so I'm doing the job.
Oh, that's torturous.
And the one but the mounted did. The one I took off the kitchen.
Well, because of balance.
She comes home and she goes, "What are you going to do with that one? That's gonna, you know, that was like the one that was being outsourced." I said, "No, the light kit is bad. I'm going to hang this to the garage."
I knew where he was going the minute. "What are you going to do with that one? It's going in the garage."
But of course I didn't tell her. I took the fan, I held it up this way with the blades like I was an airplane, and I spun it. I said, "It's going on the nose of your car." I said, "Bolt this to your hood." And she's like, "You wouldn't." Because in her head, she thought, "You'll do it." I still might.
Just for kicks, I could see him coming out and making a plate and just bolting it to a car. Okay, honey, I'll see you when you got in the store.
Well, because we're driving down the parkway. One of the guys had on his receiver hitch the little boat prop.
Oh, no,
you know, and she says, "What the hell is
it?" I love that.
And I said, "Oh, well, that's when he goes in the water." I got to get some mileage out of it.
And you see the look on her face? She's buying it.
Because, of course, she knows I got some credibility.
I'm sure with that poker face.
And after these stories, it's fading fast.
But she knows but she never knows when it's coming or when it's going to, just keep them off balance.
I figure you're going to mount it on a car and then take a picture of it like you usually do.
If I mount it, I definitely would. Yeah.
Well, first you spin the prop, then run back and take the picture.
I got to tell you, the BMW motorcycle I ride, a lot of my friends, they're more old school, like, "Oh my God, fuel injection, ABS, all this stuff, how do you work on it?" I was bringing a keyboard home from work one day, and I had it strapped to my rear rack.
A computer keyboard?
I went to Rolling Thunder, in fact. One of the guys came out, and I said, "Oh, you see how we program these things now." And you know what it is? You have a certain amount of credibility, but you got a sick sense of humor, people will believe you because they don't think you're going to screw with them.
See, you have a poker face. You have that delivery, straight deadpan delivery.
I rode around that thing for a week. Just I was going to put a mouse on there. Doesn't he believe me?
Oh, yeah.
They believe you, right?
Well, you know, like I said, a certain amount of credibility goes a long way. I'm sorry, Linda, for putting you through all of that, my loving wife. But you know, be prepared. We've been married 21 years next month. We're going to, for the next 21, it's just going to get worse. Don't worry.
This is the Motor Mouth Mother's Day Extravaganza right here on WHPC 90.3, the voice of Nassau Community College. And let's take you back to September 26, 2004. Back in September, the Bronc made a guest appearance. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
You ran for the fences. I don't know.
Yeah, I was climbing.
You were busy doing something. We had the Bronc back. And, of course, he had to ask one of our regular callers, Rob the Cable Guy, who is one of our regular callers. He had to ask him if he believed in, shall we say, spanking children. Here's what happened. Check it out.
And Rob the Cable Guy is on the air. How you doing, Rob?
Hello, Rob the Cable Guy.
What's going on?
I was just going to tell a story, you know, talking about beating kids and all. When I was Let me ask you this. Do you believe in beating your children? Oh, I absolutely approve of it. I love you. You know, there's a point, you know. Mm-hmm. But when I was 15, my parents went on vacation. So as most kids do, if the keys are around, they're going to take it for a spin. I took it out, and it wasn't even my fault, but somebody rear-ended me.
You took the family car out and got rear-ended without the family knowing.
Come on. Rob, I can hear your dad now. Well, it's not your fault. Well, if you weren't out there, it wouldn't have happened.
Absolutely. So, aside from having to pay for it for the next 12 years of my life, my father was a proud new owner of one of those Craftsman shopsmiths, like an all-in-one tool machine.
It's a lathe, drill press,
it
the whole
chops, it dices, it right. sharpens your knives. Everything. And he had a nice big wood pile in the backyard with a bunch of heavy-duty oak planks. He made me go out there and pick one. If I picked one that was too thin, he said he'd go out and pick it for me. And he proceeded to sketch out the outline of the paddle he was going to beat me with. He used the belt sander around the edges. He uses the bandsaw to cut it out.
Oh, man.
He wanted to make sure you didn't get splinters.
You know, I love your dad. You know why? Because he made you stand there in anticipation of, you know, that corner should be a little more rounded.
That was worse than the beating.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the mafia, make you dig your own hole before they shoot you.
Yeah. I'm sure you learned how to chamfer the edges of the wood really well.
By
right?
the way, the mafia has union people that do that.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So I'm in a career with woodworking now, but...
when you walked in a wood shop in school, you flipped out and they found you in the corner shaking?
Exactly. I was curled up. Go to my happy place.
Go to my happy place.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Rob. Thank you so much.
Mark had to go to his happy place there. This is the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza 2005. Mikey T, Mike from Surf Glass, Ray Guarino. This is my favorite one. I hate to tell you. This is my favorite one. I've never seen Mike completely flip out the way he did here. It's a classic. I listen to it. It's one of those things that are just like Who's On First, where every time you hear it, you always have to laugh.
Is Tony, and he knows how to push my buttons.
Right.
Maybe one of these days we'll get one of your friends to call in, and that can be your favorite bit. But until then...
This is going to be my favorite bit. Right. And let me tell you, if somebody has an opinion for something, and someone else has an opinion against it, you know that we have a show. Mm-hmm. Back in October, we couldn't have asked for a better point-counterpoint than Mikey T and Tony discussing storage techniques. Here it is.
Okay, getting back to your boat. Now you're going to change the oil filter before you put it away.
Why?
Okay. Would you pay him?
I want to hear this.
Because I've said this for years, and I say it with bikes or with anything, even though it's a dry sump engine. Oil gets very acidic from the carbon in the combustion chamber. If you let old oil sit in a motor that's dirty enough,
right,
it has acid in it.
Yes, it does.
It causes corrosion on bearings and rings and things like that. If you flush it out and put fresh oil in it before you put it away...
How long are you going to let this boat sit?
Then hold on. The next year, you
kind of like him.
His
boat sits for like four years before he puts it back in the water.
You're full of crap.
Have you ever seen an oil pan rot?
You still have a boat?
No, it was the best thing ever. Happiest day of my life selling it.
Listen. So the bottom line is here's your choices, okay? Yeah, the happiest day in a boat is life.
I had an outboard anyway, so there was nothing to change.
Yeah, two blenders on the back of that thing. So we're sitting there, and the whole discussion here is, he goes, why are you changing the oil? I go, why? Because it sits over the winter, you get condensation in it. You're going to have to change it at the beginning of next year anyway.
Right.
My point is that, okay, that's kind of like going out working all day in the gas station. You get all sweaty and everything, and then you go home and you put on your clean pajamas and jump into bed. Why are you going to do that?
What's your point?
Because you're going to end up with a rash. The point is
Have you ever seen an oil pan rot from the inside out?
It's not rotting. It's got to do with acid corrodes things. See, how does condensation start?
You fogged out the motor, am I correct?
Right.
All right, so you got everything, all that stuff in the motor and brand new oil. Now you're going to fire it up next year.
Right.
All that stuff's going to drop down in the motor. All right, you're going to change the oil again?
No. Why?
You're going to leave that in there.
Why?
So why don't you just do it in the beginning of the year?
Because whatever...
The boat's only going to sit for two, three months.
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to read this right in the magazine. You think I'm making this up, okay?
No.
And I'm not saying it's in a magazine. It's got to be right. I was just lucky enough to get on TV. You see it on TV, it's not right. I could have made it up. Anyway, it says right here, on four strokes and inboards, once the power head and fuel system are treated, it's time to drain the oil and replace the oil filter. Old oil produces acid that can cause damage over a long winter without movement of... Damage over a long winter without movement and cause bearing, compression, and ring problems. Once the oil filter are replaced, it is one less job you have to worry about in the spring, but remember to write it down so you don't forget and do it again. Okay?
Never had a problem.
Now, could you leave?
Never had a problem with my boat.
I want to understand. Let me tell the people out here. This comes from a guy who gets done with a snowmobile, they pull it into the bay in the shop, and there it sits, covered in dust, dirt, crap, salt, everything.
Two pulls, it starts every year.
And the next season, don't touch it if it ain't broken. Here's
Mr. Maintenance over here. We drive to York, Pennsylvania on the motorcycles, the bolt, holding the negative terminal on his battery.
That's a whole nother show.
Flies off.
That's a whole nother show.
I gotta take bolts off my license plate to get his bike running.
That's a whole nother show. show, and we are going to get into that. Mr. Duck, here comes Tony's clutch level towards me on Ocean Parkway. What the heck did I duck? And it goes over my head, hits Frankie's bike, and I said to him, what the heck was that? He goes, oh, my brake lever. I go, did you put the clip on I gave you 2 weeks ago? No, where are they? Sitting on my toolbox. So let's not even go there, okay? Let's not even go there.
Oh, now I'm gonna follow this up by saying this, okay? After the show, we left the show. No, my volumes are at home. We left the show and we went for lunch at McDonald's, and then we went back to his house. And this conversation oil started with him like weeks before. We get back to his house, he's waxing his bike. We're talking about something totally different, and he just looks up at me and says, "You know, you might be right about changing the oil. I wanted to pound his head into the pavement."
It was just that button on your back.
Yeah,
he said,
"You know, I hang out with him. He keeps me single because that's what it'd be like arguing with a woman."
You were getting warm,
oh,
buddy
man,
boy.
You can feel it in the studio now.
You were cranking. Yeah. That was the best bit. I swear, I must have listened to it a half dozen times. I laughed every.
Okay,
every
if you listened to that
time.
A half dozen times, you need to get out more.
Let me tell you. I had to.
Well, this is a good one to you, Chris. It's coming up. Don't worry. You had your auto part rant day, and that was pretty damn close. So
he misses that red vest he used to wear.
Yeah.
Strauss.
Right.
All right. So we got to bring it back to the happy place again here at the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza, playing all the bits for you to enjoy and for us to cringe. But believe it or not, there are a very small amount of listeners that actually appreciate what we do here at Motormouth Radio. And some of those listeners actually call to tell us.
Wow.
Believe it or not.
We send them a check every week.
But let me tell you, this one's tough to match. The accolades Tom from Rolling Thunder had from Mikey T.
Oh, yeah.
You could feel the love. Check it out.
Right. Tom from Hempstead. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good. Doing fine. How you guys doing?
Doing very well. How you been?
No, good. Doing fine as usual.
This is Tom from Rolling Thunder Cycles, by the way. For all
Hi, Tom.
Hello, Tom.
This is Ray.
Yes, Tom.
I assume Mike is there.
Yes, he is.
I'm joined at the hip.
Yes.
Joined at the hip.
How you been, Tom?
Good. Doing well. I just have to mention that you guys always do a great job. And as far as Mike, I was listening to the show, not this show, but a former show on HPC back in August. And Mike came on, and a customer mentioned something about electronics and Lucas. And all I remember is that it was the funniest show. Mike had a couple things to say about Lucas.
That's because Lucas is funny, Tom. Come on.
Someone mentioned something else about a Fiat.
Yeah. Who was that?
And it was just incredibly funny. It was the highlight of my afternoon.
Thank you, Tom.
Tom, let me tell you, this show is like the Navy. It's not just a show. It's an adventure. We go anywhere.
And you guys were having a great time. And it was just random hit. I says, you know, I've been listening to HPC for about 10 years. It's informative. It has big band at night. It has rock. It has everything. And when I found this show in the summer, and I heard Mike, that's Mike Timmons. And Mike was so funny. And everyone is clarifying. And I could relate to some of my learning experience on things that messed up along the way. And
right.
I think I have a bill for Mike Timmons because I think I wet my pants at the time.
Hey, Tom,
listen. Mike, you will be getting a
listen,
bill in
the mail. Tom, that last time I gave you new underwear, it was a 3-pack. You should still be good 2 more times.
Well, I may need more than a 3-pack. And than you guys.
Well, Tom, you got to wear them one at a time, though, Tom.
And well, we're coming out with our own Motormouth rubber underwear. This way we cut this cost.
I hope they're monogrammed, and if you're a special caller, you
they're monogrammed, and each of us, the host, will sign it.
There you go.
Some in the front, some in the back.
Then I feel very special.
So, Tom, listen.
And by the way, the Lucas thing, Lucas's idea of electricity was don't let the smoke out.
That's right. Don't let the smoke out.
You guys were talking from total car burns to, and every retort that came on was funnier than the last, and you guys were having pure fun.
That's why we do it.
God, that was funny. I can't tell you how funny. I can't breathe.
Did the water come out your nose?
I just passed a cheese sandwich out my nose.
I looked and thought he was puking in the corner.
The borders, everything was wet up here. That was great. 3-pack underwear.
That was Tom from Rolling Thunder and his accolades to the Motormouth staff, but especially to Mr. Mikey T. He's so funny.
Thank God he hasn't called since then.
We used to date, but it just didn't work out.
This is the Motormouth Mother's Day extravaganza. Let's jump right to the next bit right here. You know...
Yeah.
Every one of us has got a good story concerning how we sold a car. But it's tough to match one of our long-standing callers, Lou from Franklin Square. He sold a Suzuki Samurai like this. Check it out.
Lou, what did you called that a somersault. What did you call it last time?
Oh, I don't know. I try to vary it. To
yeah, last time was pretty good, too.
I thought it was a somersault, wasn't it?
No, last time you called it something else, like a...
Did I ever tell you where that car ended up?
No, where did it end
that
up?
That car ended up in the jungles of Haiti.
Huh?
The jungles of Haiti?
Are you serious? Went overseas?
I started trying to sell it, and I was getting abused by people who were showing up and looking at it and saying, yeah, but it's only got 70 horsepower. Well, you know, you want it, it's four-wheel drive, it's got low, two lows, it's, you know, it's a real vehicle, you know,
right.
Heating hubs, you know. I was giving it away. I was looking for about $3,000 for it.
Wow.
And I wasn't giving up.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy shows up, heavy accent. I'm assuming he was from some part of Africa.
Right.
It was a native African accent.
He did that on Hempstead.
No, you know, I was going to say that, and I held back.
No,
I swear, I held back.
I was from deep in Brooklyn.
Oh, it's the same thing.
Same thing.
I know that. The reason I know that is because part of the deal was he bought the car, he paid for it in cash, right there and then.
Right.
But he couldn't drive a stick.
Oh, minor problem. Be fair to the Suffolk people. Ed Wine Dance in there, too, will you?
Yeah, the island wants our props.
I wasn't even sure he could drive. So I have to get one of my buddies on the phone. You know, get him over to my house.
Right.
You follow me with a car, and I'm going to deliver this. You know, you might shotgun behind me.
Right, so you were delivering the car.
And I'm delivering the car as part of the deal. At this point, you know, I was happy to do that. I came the whole way into Brooklyn. You know, you already paid for it.
Right.
I take the plates off it. I shake his hand. The guy's happy, you know. It's literally, I put it between two buildings, like a driveway between two buildings. So
right.
You get on the street without the plates.
Right.
I get a phone call from the guy 2 weeks later.
Okay.
You know those locks you have on the wheels? I said, yeah, I showed you. I had one lock on every single wheel, and I had three locks on the spare.
Right.
So buy a set of locks, you get four. And in order to go to that fifth wheel, you got to buy another set. So I just put them all on the spare. He goes, we can't find the keys for the locks.
Right.
I gave them to you, man. I handed them to you. I showed you where they were. You don't remember?
Right.
But I don't know. I said, well, you don't know what you're doing with them. I can't. He said, well, it's on the dock. It's going to go to Haiti. And I want to get the locks off before. I said, no, don't worry about it. Haiti, just go to Haiti and shoot them off.
Good answer.
Real good answer.
I said, I got enough tools in Haiti. I'll do an AK and blast them off. Don't worry about it. I was in total panic. He was afraid to leave the country and he'd get a flat in Haiti.
But no, we put the shipment of guns in the van with
him. Yeah.
So we can't
not afraid of getting shot in Haiti or anything, but he's afraid that he's going to get a flat.
And they go, man, I'm glad I turned those plates in. And
yeah, really.
And scraped off.
That's
sticker.
Wild when your old vehicle ends up in Haiti.
True. Yeah. Lou, thank you so much for the call.
Thanks, Lou. Happy New Year.
You too. We'll talk to you soon.
Good way to ditch a vehicle. Send it out of the country. This is the Motor Mouth Mother's Day extravaganza right here. Mikey T, Ray Guarino, and Mike from Surf Glass. And basically, we'd like to just say, you know, thanks, Mom, pretty much on this Mother's Day 2005. Are we ready for the last bit? All righty. Well, we couldn't have a best-of show without Mikey T having a bona fide gripe session on the air, and he did that with Tony. But this time it was my turn to do the griping. In a bit, we'll just call Chris and the power steering hose. Take it away, dude.
But just to get back to...
So what's your beef?
Here's the beef. Convenience, right?
Where's the beef?
So last week I got the Bronco in the driveway. It was about 4:30. I'm cleaning off some parts of the engine. I go to check the oil. I lean on the high end of the power steering hose, right? Mm-hmm. I lean on it, break it right there.
Beautiful.
Right? So now here it is, close to 5 o'clock on a Sunday. I need a power steering, high-end power steering hose for the Bronco.
This is the best thing that could have happened to you because you knew that I only had minimal time before it went.
Oh, yeah, it was going to go. Oh, I knew it. It was going to go, right? So I'm thinking to myself, it's a Ford. It's got power steering. It's a hose. I could find this anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Get in the car, drive over to R&S Strauss. Walk in, the guy says to me, he goes, dude, I don't have one. Says it'll take about 2 weeks to deliver.
I've never seen him get this hyper about anything.
How much will it cost?
2 weeks?
Dude, it'll cost about $42. All right, fine. Get out of here. I leave there. I go over to Pep Boys.
Pep Boys. I walk in, the guy goes, dude.
It's his brother.
Dude.
It's twins.
I don't have it. I don't know what it is, but it'll cost $42.
That price was consistent.
All right, fine. So I leave there. I go to, AutoZone. I walk in, the guy goes, dude.
Triplets, his cousin.
Dude, I don't have it. I don't know where it is. It'll take 3 weeks to come in, $47.
Now right? You know why they're minimal pay on employees on Sundays.
You know what I do.
The best one was Autobahn. I go into Autobahn. I walk in, the guy goes, dude. I don't know what it is. I can't cross-reference it.
That's when you say, dude, as you smack him in the head, give me the freaking parts book. I'm going to look it up myself.
Yeah. $52, he tells me.
Oh, $10 more, yeah.
And so I leave there. I'm thinking about, I'm hitting myself in the head. I'm like, why the hell are these stores open? What? If I need at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday, if I need a Christmas tree air freshener, I know where to go.
They don't even have the good ones.
If I can get the freaking hubcaps with the spinners on them, I know where to go. You but a power steering hose.
Oh, and a pair of dice. They have
that's
dice.
A part, man. Dice. Yeah, that's a real part.
So, like, Monday morning, I call up Coney Island Auto Parts. I love these guys.
They're a real auto parts store.
The sawdust on the floor, right?
You could tell. I get on the phone with the guy. I go, do you have a power steering hose for a Bronco 2? Guy goes, yeah, $26. Didn't even look in the book.
No.
Didn't even look at it up. Yeah. So why are these stores open at 5 o'clock on a
just
Sunday?
To sell air freshness for the people that are cleaning, washing, and waxing their cars.
Yeah. And that's it for the Mother's Day extravaganza.
Yeah, I hope everybody out there had a good Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Happy Mother's Day.
And for the mothers that haven't paid me yet also.
This is Motormouth Radio next week. Bye-bye.